This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Overnight raids in the UK. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, March 23rd. Thanks for spending time with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Seven people have been arrested following raids by British authorities in connection with yesterday's deadly terrorist attack in London. We'll have the latest.
The plan by House Republicans to replace Obamacare is due for a vote today, but it's not clear if there's enough support to pass.
It's possible President Trump is getting cover about his claim that he was wiretapped by the Obama administration. We'll explain the new development.
And a preview of the Sweet 16 as the NCAA basketball tournament resumes this evening.
Xavier's, you know, in a situation where, you know, they really came out of nowhere. They barely got into the NCAA tournament, probably the last 10 team in, and they've been sensational in back-to-back wins against, you know, Florida State and Maryland. Obviously, they lost their starting point guard, Edmund Sumner here, you know, down the stretch of the regular season, but they've rallied. They've done a really good job in the NCAA tournament. Here they are, 2 wins away from the Final Four.
College basketball analyst John Rothstein breaks down the remaining field in about 25 minutes. British authorities have conducted overnight raids and made seven arrests at different locations in connection with a deadly attack in London yesterday. It began in the afternoon when the suspected Islamist terrorist sped across Westminster Bridge in a car, ramming pedestrians along the way, killing three of them. After striking a fence, he then ran towards Parliament and stabbed a policeman before he was shot and later died. The policeman who was stabbed also died, British Prime Minister Theresa May.
We will all move forward together, never giving in to terror, and never allowing the voices of hate and evil to drive us apart.
Those five dead, by the way, were in addition to roughly 40 others who were injured. Police believe they know the identity of the attacker, but have not named him. Three French high school students, aged 15 or 16, who were on a school trip to London, were among the injured. Well, how is it exactly that London should respond? We're joined now by Kevin Mallott, an expert in emergency response and disaster operations, also founder of a company called Erase Enterprises, which provides security services. He's with us live this morning. Kevin, is another low-tech, high-impact incident.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very similar to the attack in Ottawa, Canada. You may remember that guy drove over people, then he killed a soldier at their National War Memorial and right. Then tried to get into Parliament. He was killed by the sergeant at arms there. Similar to the attack in Ohio State, mm-hmm. Guy drove over people, jumped out with a knife. So it's a repetitive type of attack. The Christmas market attack, driving over people in Nice, France. You know, what they're basically showing is they don't need firearms to do the job. And because the way this is structured, the attackers have been given instructions on type of target, methodology, but you pick the date and time when you want to do it, which makes it really difficult to intercept the person when they're running their own clock on the attack.
All right, so that opens the door to this question. I mean, how do you prevent this stuff?
Right, well, I mean, the big picture is you go after the ideology. You got to start working with our allies in the Middle East and the people that have real influence over the extremist perspective in Islam, and get their church, if you will, to say this is not what our religion's all about. So the big picture is, you know, cut it off at the root. But then also, in the meantime, you got to go after their communications, their finance, their training, their ability to recruit over the internet, things like that, and need to do it aggressively, because this is an organization that has figured out how to manipulate the privileges of free societies and use those privileges against the society by being able to carry out covert attacks.
You get the sense, Kevin, though, that we're anywhere with this ideology battle?
Not yet, but the guys in the Middle East, I work a lot in Africa and in the Middle East, and the countries there are starting to look at us like, okay, are you guys getting serious yet? I mean, this is really interesting. We have all sorts of people in the U.S. saying, here's what we should do with all these refugees or with this issue or that issue.
Right.
If you look at the Arab countries that are the cousins, if you will, to a lot of the people that join this group, and you look at how they deal with it, they're on a completely different page than we are. And I think we need to be a little more realistic and look at Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, and look how they deal with it compared to us, because they look at us like we're very naive, and we are. You know, our mentality, our society doesn't allow us to embrace this concept that someone would just go kill people for the point of religion. And we need to catch up.
All right, catch up how, for example?
Well, first of all, the idea that everybody's coming into our country in a refugee flow is going to be a good person and not cause trouble. Look at the Jordanians and the Saudis on how they're addressing the refugee issue. I mean, they're like, not happening here. You know, the Jordanians have a containment camp which is full on their border, but they're not letting everybody roam around free in their country. And Europe has not realized that of all these refugees in the 18 to 28-year-old male group, that, you know, they really need to be back home fighting for their country, if you will. There's something up when all those guys are leaving. And they're suffering from the crime rates and also the infiltration of potential terrorist groups. So I'm not saying you can't take refugees, and I'm all about the human aspect too, but you've got to do it smartly. You've got to vet people. You've got to understand that they will exploit the situation that they created. Think about this. The refugee situation is created by the terrorist groups. If they weren't doing what they're doing in Syria and Iraq, you wouldn't have all the refugees. So they're exploiting our good-heartedness and using it against us, and we need to get in touch with you just can't let them do that. And taking the fight to them, realistically, we've been watching these guys go crazy for 3.5 years, and yet we have the horsepower to take care of them immediately in the Middle East, and we haven't done it. So there's a combination of us having the political will, because we have the military might already, and then the intelligence side to go stop this at the head. Instead of dealing with the individual one-off symptoms of the problem, we need to go take care of the illness itself.
We're speaking with Kevin Mallott, expert in emergency response and disaster operations, talking about the aftermath of the London terror attack yesterday. He's with us live this morning. It does seem like we're way behind in vetting, does it not?
Yeah, it does. And see, people in the U.S. don't understand, but like in Syria, you can buy a passport, a Syrian passport. You can buy one of those with cash from government employees that haven't been paid by their own government in a couple of years, but they still got to take care of their families.
Right, right.
There's passport guys out there that are independently operating, just trying to provide food for their family. And therefore, the passport system and the vetting system in Syria doesn't exist. It's been decentralized. We had a couple guys flying on forged passports, flew into St. Martin's in the Caribbean, then they went to Honduras, and they were coming to the U.S. Fortunately, some sharp guys in St. Martin picked up on their passports not being right, and they were arrested when they got to Honduras. They were coming into the U.S., and they were not good people. So there's a lot of stuff going on that is not what a good person understands.
Right.
And when you deal with evil guys like this, a good person doesn't even have it on their radar screen to think the way they think. And they exploit that to their advantage.
Good insight. Kevin, thanks for a few minutes. Nice talking to you. Kevin Mallott, expert in emergency response and disaster operations, also founder of a company called Erase Enterprises, which provides security services. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let's talk about wine for just a moment, specifically Cameron Hughes wine. I've been a fan for some time. Cameron has relationships with these high-end wineries and producers all over the world. He takes what they're not going to bottle, puts it in his own bottle, slaps his label on it, and you get luxury wine at an affordable price. And all the bottles are guaranteed. If you're not happy, he'll make it right. And right now, Cameron Hughes has an exclusive offer for our listeners. You get free shipping on your order and a free sommelier-grade corkscrew. It's a great deal to try wines that are already up to 50% off because they are sold directly to you. It's a no-brainer to try Cameron Hughes wine. Free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew at chwine.com and enter the code DEAL. chwine.com and the code DEAL. Don't wait. It is a limited-time offer. The wine is fantastic. The deal's great. I want you to go online and order it today. chwine.com with the code DEAL. Thanks for being with us. There's a new development to President Trump's claims that he was wiretapped by the Obama administration. California Congressman Devin Nunes, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, says U.S. intelligence agencies intercepted information about people involved in the Trump transition team through what's called incidental collection, meaning that Trump transition officials were not the intended targets.
It looks to me like it was all legally collected, but it was essentially a lot of information on the president-elect and his transition team and what they were doing.
Mr. Nunes, a Republican, is leading a congressional investigation into alleged Russian interference in U.S. elections. Sharing that information, by the way, is considered an extraordinary breach of protocol, according to the Wall Street Journal. The ranking Democrat on the committee is Adam Schiff.
There is still no evidence that the president was wiretapped by his predecessor.
There are no details on what sort of information the intelligence agencies collected or how it was collected. It's 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a doctor at London's St. Thomas Hospital, says some of those hurt in yesterday's attack near Parliament have catastrophic injuries. The attacker plowed a car into pedestrians on London's Westminster Bridge and then stabbed a police officer to death. British Prime Minister Theresa May.
The terrorists chose to strike at the heart of our capital city, where people of all nationalities, religions and cultures come together to celebrate the values of liberty, democracy, and freedom of speech.
Three people were killed before the attacker himself was killed. Overnight, seven people were arrested at six locations in Birmingham. Authorities have identified the attacker but have not yet released details. The House is expected to vote today on the GOP plan to dismantle and replace Obamacare, but there may not be enough yes votes yet to pass it. President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence met yesterday with lawmakers to press them into supporting the measure. Today, members of the House Freedom Caucus, the hardline group spearheading the opposition, are expected at the White House. After 2 days of tough questioning, lawyers, advocacy groups, and former colleagues today will get their say on President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Judge Neil Gorsuch. Gorsuch received glowing GOP reviews for his testimony, but complaints from frustrated Democrats as he refused repeated attempts to get him to talk about his stance on key legal and political issues. The frigid top of the Earth just set yet another record for low levels of sea ice in what scientists say is a signal of an overheating world. The other end of the world, Antarctica, also hit a record low mark. The U.S. surrounded Puerto Rico 8-0 last night to win its first World Baseball Classic in four tries behind six hitless innings from Marcus Stroman, USA manager Jim Leland.
We had the right players. I mean, we had the players that wanted to be here, and that's the kind of players you want.
For a sport known as America's pastime, the U.S. has struggled since the WBC began in 2006. Twice, the U.S. lost in the second round, and they went out in the semifinals in 2009. Puerto Rico has been to the finals twice and lost both.
Yeah, well, you want to play football, let us know.
Who?
Then we'll take care of this year after year.
the other nations?
Yeah, the World Football Classic. Yeah, you want to line up some of those guys behind our beefcakes? We're ready for you.
That's us in Canada, I think.
23 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Do you go to the gym a lot because it's close to home or work? If you don't go a lot, is it because the gym is not close to home or work? Here's this morning's Jennifer Koschenka on the issue of gym convenience.
Location, location, location. It's true in real estate and apparently in working out. Rachel Bachman of the Wall Street Journal is here to tell us about the relationship between gym distance and working out. Rachel, what have you found?
Well, it's probably not surprising that the closer you are to your gym, the more likely you are to work out more often. But the data is pretty interesting, and what it revealed is really sort of like a four-mile rule. And remember, this is nationwide. So essentially, people who live more than 4 miles away from their gym go significantly less often than people who live less than 4 miles from their gym or fitness center. So, you know, that's kind of a guideline for people to follow if they're thinking of joining a gym.
Did the study look at the time spent? I mean, the commute for some areas would be equivalent to something different in terms of mileage.
Yeah, that's true. So this certainly can vary greatly depending on the area. One of the surprises for me is that a couple of chains, national chains that are actually based in New York City, where people tend to live much closer to their gyms, showed that people were willing to travel more distance to go to them, which suggests that they hold some extra value for their users. So for instance, people who belong to Equinox travel an average of 5.7 miles to get to their club. Now, there are Equinox locations outside of New York, but most of them are in New York or around the city. So that's quite a hike if you live in or around New York City.
Rachel, do you think distance outweighed other factors, such as maybe how many hours the gym was open or cleanliness?
I think that there are a lot of overlapping things here. I talked to one woman who lives in California who said that she used to go to a big box gym. It took her about 15 to 20 minutes by car to get there. She didn't go very often. It was very inconsistent. And then a fitness studio, opened two blocks from her house. So she said that the closeness of that studio was the number one reason why she joined and goes much more often now. But she's also getting a much higher level of service. You know, she's getting guided workouts with a trainer, you know, in a group, and certainly a lot more personal interaction than she was getting at the big box gym.
So maybe people who are tied to certain programs or gyms are loyal to that, but otherwise they'd be looking for something closer?
Yes, I think that's true. I mean, if you're a SoulCycle fan or, for instance, an Orange Theory fan and you're just absolutely hooked, maybe that's enough to get you to go a little farther than you might have to go to go to a gym. So, you know, this certainly depends on the person, but the data show that in general, people kind of hit the wall at about 4 miles or a little over and just go less often.
This morning's Jennifer Koschenko with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Bachman. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, March 23rd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenko. Some of our top stories and headlines, as many as 8 arrests now in connection with a deadly terror attack in London. The Desert Sun says a California teacher was allowed to continue in his job despite scores of accusations for years that he was touching children inappropriately. North Dakota church owned by a white supremacist burned to the ground. New twist over claims Trump was wiretapped. GOP health plan gets a vote today. And USA Today says the NFL is finalizing a way to speed up games, including TV adjustments like changing that pattern of commercial, then kickoff, then commercial. This portion of the program is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/ch today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. For those who love college basketball, today seems to have taken forever to arrive. The NCAA tournament resumes this evening with the Sweet 16. 4 games tonight, 4 tomorrow. Then we're down to the Elite 8. We'll know the final 4 by Sunday evening. A preview from John Rothstein, analyst for CBS Sports and host of a podcast called College Hoops Today. John, your thoughts?
Well, you can certainly look at that in the South region. Obviously, I've called that the region of tradition. You've got North Carolina, Butler in one game, and UCLA and Kentucky another. Truly a star-studded Sweet 16 when you look at the South region, the region of tradition.
Who has surprised you so far?
I would say Xavier. Xavier's, you know, in a situation where, you know, they really came out of nowhere. They barely got into the NCAA tournament, probably the last 10 team in, and they've been sensational in back-to-back wins against, you know, Florida State and Maryland. Obviously, they lost their starting point guard, Edmund Sumner here, you know, down the stretch of the regular season, but they've rallied. They've done a really good job in the NCAA tournament. Here they are, 2 wins away from the Final Four.
South Carolina, surprise or no?
I think they were taking advantage of the matchup. Their offense against Duke in the second half was a surprise. 65 points, the most ever scored, you know, in a half by a South Carolina team. And then also, you have to look at what Duke did. The 65 given up by Duke was the most ever surrendered by Mike Krzyzewski coach team. So it was divine intervention.
Wow. Break down, I guess, a couple of these Thursday games. What do you make of Oregon, Michigan tipping things off?
Oregon and Michigan's interesting, you know, in a lot of different way. It's just because, you know, Michigan's a team of momentum, a team of destiny, and Oregon is not the same team without a guy like Chris Boucher. You know, Chris Boucher, for all intents and purposes, was Oregon's different dimension because of the, what he could do on defense, you know, protecting the rim, and what he could do on offense, making threes. So that's something that I think, you know, you really have to look at in terms of being an X factor for Oregon that they don't have.
We're speaking with John Rothstein, college hoops analyst for CBS Sports, also host of a podcast called College Hoops Today. We're looking at this Sweet 16. All right, a half hour after that game, fourth seed West Virginia, number one Gonzaga. Break that down.
Well, you know, Gonzaga's always a team that I think has done better when they've had more time to prepare. And, you know, from Gonzaga's perspective, they have a situation where they had extra time to prepare for West Virginia. I think, you know, West Virginia's, you know, in a scenario where, you know, they will obviously beat teams easier on the second part of a back-to-back because, you know, when you look at West Virginia against Notre Dame only had one day to prepare. And now, you know, you look obviously at West Virginia, and West Virginia is going to have a team that's going to have probably 5 days to prepare for them. So that's a different dynamic.
All right, so with this down to the Sweet 16 now, have your thoughts changed about who you think will win the whole thing, given what you've seen at this point?
Yeah, with the way the bracket shakes out right now, I would expect, obviously, a team like a UCLA to have a different dynamic because of Lonzo Ball, the best, you know, player in left in the tournament, in my opinion. I think that will be a real, real interesting thing to watch because you're looking at a once-in-a-generation type point guard.
Wisconsin has something to prove, don't they, with that number 8 seed they were given?
Absolutely. No, they definitely do, and they've got great, you know, tournament experience.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, three guys, Bronson Koenig, Nigel Hayes, and also, you know, Vito Brano of a combined 13-3 record in the NCAA tournament.
Thanks, John. John Rothstein, analyst for CBS Sports, host of a podcast called College Hoops Today. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into a Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, anyone who has performed anything in their lifetime has had someone tell them to break a leg as a way of wishing them good luck. There are a few people who you wouldn't want to use that sentiment on, however, namely those who have had traumatic leg injuries in their past. Ahead of the Dancing with the Stars season premiere on Monday, Christy Yamaguchi sent her wishes via Twitter to fellow skater Nancy Kerrigan, who is competing on the show. You can sort of see where this is going. Unfortunately, Yamaguchi's tweet finished by saying, quote, "Can't wait to see you grace that ballroom floor, break a leg." Her choice of words, as you might imagine, was a little cringeworthy for some, since Kerrigan is most famous for being clubbed in the leg with a baton at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Detroit a month before the Winter Olympics. Was that 1994, I guess that was? Yes. Just remember which.
92. Boy, you stumped me there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's well over 20 years ago. I believe it was 94.
92, summer in Barcelona. Then 94 was winter in Lillehammer, Norway?
Yeah, I believe. Yes,
right?
Sure. But
wow.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to put these things in perspective, right? I mean, her sentence was, "Can't wait to see you grace that ballroom floor."
Right.
And then the break a leg comments.
Yes. I mean, it was just a little unfortunate. Again, but, you know, Twitter being what it is, people pick up on this.
These things take on lives of their own. Yes.
She couldn't, because in the past, what would have happened, let's say this was 1994, she would have called her on the phone. Not even a cell phone. She would have gone to a pay phone probably somewhere in an arena where she was skating and called her on the phone and said it to her directly. Instead, she said it to, you know, a million people on Twitter, and these are the kind of things that can happen.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
And a Wheel of Fortune contestant, Gordon, might not be a Tennessee Williams fan, but he's sure to never forget one of the writer's best-known plays, at least not again. A contestant named Kevin was launched to instant viral fame Tuesday night when he was called on to guess the final missing letter of the puzzle, a streetcar named Desire, with only the M in named missing from the puzzle. Kevin was met with silence, followed by gasps and groans from the audience when he called out his letter, K. A competitor named Lisa profited from Kevin's mistake, solving the puzzle with the actual name of Williams' 1947 play. Host Pat Sajak joked about Kevin's mistake in congratulating Lisa, saying that although she did get the right answer, he'd rather go see Kevin's play.
Yes.
That's a pretty good one by Mr. Sajak.
That was a great line. And that was silence I think that you may not have ever experienced on a game show. When he said, "Can I have a K?"
Yeah.
The place just went completely silent. Like, what is he doing here?
Yes.
And then there was the first of all, he didn't want to solve it, which was odd enough because there was only one letter left on the puzzle, right?
And
the fact that he threw in a K, and then he realized he was thinking a streetcar naked desire.
Right. Just, so his mind was just in a completely different place.
And then his reaction after she got it right, then you could tell like he really knew that he blew that.
Not only did he know that he blew it, but he knew that he'd probably wind up being talked about on shows like this and you know and all over the internet. So again, something that wouldn't have happened 20 years ago.
That's right.
Right. We probably wouldn't have even known about this unless we saw it the first time, because who was, you know, taping Wheel of Fortune on their old VCR?
Very good. Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help to become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices on everything you need to promote your business, from business cards, brochures, and banners to pens, magnets, and calendars. Visit staples.com/copy and print for more. Staples, make more happen. The Wall Street Journal says companies including Boston Consulting Group and Microsoft are mining employees' emails and tracking face-to-face interactions to get a better grasp on how information travels. The goal is to cut down on time-consuming meetings. Boston Consulting gave 20% of its New York employees ID badges, then tracked their movement through the office and recorded how long they spent in conversation. A project leader said the data showed many employees were spending too much time with bosses or direct reports, which limited the flow of info. The trial also revealed that people who stopped more often to chat with random colleagues spent, on average, 5 fewer hours in long meetings. So to boost employee interactions and cut down on formal meetings, the company added a town square-style lounge area serving free breakfast and lunch, where most people stop for coffee or snacks throughout the day. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, 8 arrests have been made in raids in London, Birmingham, and elsewhere following an attack in Westminster that left 4 dead. Hundreds of detectives have worked through the night carrying out searches at 6 addresses. Authorities say the victims include 2 people who worked at a London college, a man in his 50s, and the attacker. 7 of the injured are in critical condition. With a top Republican legislative priority in peril, President Trump is dangling possible changes to the health care bill aimed at placating conservatives threatening to torpedo the legislation. The White House seemed to make progress with the hardliners yesterday, while House leaders struggled with moderates ahead of today's showdown vote. CNN is reporting that the FBI has information that suggests members of President Trump's team may have colluded with Russian operatives to coordinate the release of damaging information in an effort to torpedo Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. And basing its report on unnamed U.S. officials, CNN says the FBI's information is based on human intelligence, travel, business and phone records, and accounts of in-person meetings. Meanwhile, President Trump got an assist in his claims that he's been wiretapped by Republican Devin Nunes, who said the president or his close associates may have been incidentally swept up in surveillance by U.S. spy agencies.
It looks to me like it was all legally collected, but it was essentially a lot of information on the president-elect and his transition team and what they were doing.
Trump told reporters he felt somewhat vindicated by Nunes's remarks. Police say a white Army veteran from Baltimore bent on making a racist attack took a bus to New York, randomly picked out a black man who was collecting bottles on the street, and killed him with a sword. James Jackson turned himself in at a Times Square police station early yesterday, about 25 hours after Timothy Kaufman staggered into a police precinct. bleeding to death. We already know he's a triple-double machine, but a perfect one. Russell Westbrook of the Thunder went 6-for-6 from the field and 6-for-6 from the free throw line to score 18 points last night to go along with his 14 assists and 11 rebounds in a win over the Sixers. Westbrook already has 35 triple-doubles this season.
So he's pretty good?
Pretty good.
Yeah. He should share the ball, though. Is that little number selfish at all? Or
assists? Come on, that's sharing.
What a year he's having. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Londoners have expressed defiance after the terrorist attack at Westminster, sharing messages of solidarity on social media. Hashtag We Are Not Afraid was trending in London as users reacted to the deaths of five people yesterday, including the attacker, and expressed gratitude and support for the work of emergency services. Twitter user @HillyFoz shared a blurry nighttime snap of the London Eye, according to The Guardian, noting that the city had not been brought to a halt by the attack. She tweeted, quote, London's just going about its business. Pubs and theaters still full, trains packed. Everyone looks a little sadder, but hashtag we are not afraid. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Paying off credit cards can get expensive, and getting a traditional bank loan can be a hassle. Now there's another way to get the money you need at a competitive fixed interest rate. Your loan through Avant could be approved in minutes. Now get a $50 Amazon gift card from Avant when your first installment is made on time. Check your rates risk-free. Go to Avant.com and enter promo code 9090 at checkout. That's www.avant.com, promo code 9090. Loans are made by WebBank. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.